Greetings, welcome. Bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, ja wivi va cat bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace how, go vegan, from the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary industrial core poor nation, in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy-mocracy criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, food-borne in the NSA, NRA, USA, home of Uncle Sam Manila, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And I would like to wish a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. But of course, it would just be an empty wish, incapable of fruition. Unless, of course, you were to go vegan. Did your food have a mother? Yes, the food that you ate for Mother's Day brunch, or you're having for Mother's Day dinner. Did your food have a mother? If you consume animal corpse, if you're masticating celebratory cadaver, well, of course, you're eating somebody, and everybody had a mother. Your burger, your filet mignon, your veal chop, your pork chop, your ham, your ribs, your wings, thighs, breasts. You're eating somebody, literally somebody, and everybody had a mother, just like you. Don't compare me to a chicken, Bobby, you tell me. Chickens come from eggs. Well, hate to break it to you, if you don't remember, you happen to be an egg product also. And, why would the hen get a reputation as mother hen? Well, she, like all mothers, looks after her young and, like all mothers, protective and caring and love them, and are made so sad and miserable when you eat their children. It tends to make mothers sad. Their unhappiness comes one by one, by the billions. How can it be a happy Mother's Day when so many billions of mothers weep for their kidnapped and murdered children? Unfortunate to have their remains served on a Mother's Day menu, and the happy Mother's Day for humans is really a momentary pleasure when mom eats the bodies of those kidnapped babies, when mom consumes those bovine mammary secretions intended for bovines, and mom consumes those ovarian bird discharges. Ironically, mom winds up with ovarian cancer and breast cancer. Mom is an adult and doesn't really need baby food, especially from another species, and maybe it's time you had a heart-to-heart with mom, huh? You want mom around for a while? You know, we've often talked about studies on this program related to longevity and premature death. And if you want statistics to be on the side of longevity for mom and dad and the kids, wouldn't a family gathering with an agenda to go vegan be just the way to celebrate Mother's Day 2014? You know, really, that would be like a fun and interesting family project. I mean, you see it in the news. Everybody's going vegan. And it would just be fun to get it together as a family project, right? What a loving, caring project that would be. A family commitment to family health. You know, there's no greater family value than to go vegan. It makes perfect sense to get going on going vegan on Mother's Day. Yeah, for your mom's health and really for the health of Mother Earth, too. Maybe a little bit later on the program, we can get into the report released by the Obama administration saying that Well, global warming is, climate change is here, right? And mothers care about their children, so of course it's incumbent upon them to protect their children with the care that a mother hen would, you know. And, Mom, we know that eating food who had a mother and eating female reproductory excretions cause heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, etc. The China study, the largest study of diet and health ever, says the dairy protein is the number one carcinogen to which Americans are exposed. The dairy protein, the protein content of cow's milk is 3.3%, and in human milk, it's 1.3%. The higher protein level is for growing more quickly, as the baby calf has to do. Human babies need less protein and more fat for development of brain, nerves, spinal cord. Cow's milk protein has a ratio of 80 to 20 casein to whey. C-A-S-E-I-N, casein protein to whey protein, W-H-E-Y. The human milk casein to whey ratio is 40-60. So cow protein of casein to whey, 80-20. Human, 40-60. So your baby and presumably other family members are taking in a casein ratio from cows that is twice the normal casein ratio in human milk, and that so hard to digest casein, that gloppy stuff, so sticky, it's used to glue labels to beer bottles, you know, gunking up your innards and, you know, causing what allergies and what diabetes, right? You know? So cow's milk is also shown to contain more saturated fat than human milk, which contains more unsaturated fat than cow's milk. And this apparently is an important factor in brain development. The cow's milk has about four times the calcium of human's milk to fit the needs of, you know, the large skeleton of a fast-growing calf. Kind of makes sense, right? And consuming cow's milk makes no sense for humans, right? I mean, so isn't it really your maternal obligation to go vegan? No mother cow would tell her baby to drink the milk of a human, you know? No mother hen would tell her baby to eat the egg of a human, knowing it would do harm to their babies. You know, other species could just be so superior to humans in their parenting skills, right? And in 2014, parenting skills need to address an even bigger picture. Mom, what kind of world do you want to leave your children, huh? A climate-changed world will be hell on earth for your children. Will they have any food with the drought, the flooding, the superstorms, and who knows what, huh? Animal agriculture is responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. Mom, do you care about Mom Earth, Mother Earth? Mother, so where's the vegan movement, you know, the vegan movement, Mothers for Mother Earth, right? We have Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Where are Mothers for Mother Earth? We've got to do better than solutions like we get from Governor Jerry Brown in California. Well, maybe after the break, also I'll get into that environmental report on the other bizarre solutions offered by the Obama administration with its climate report. But here in California, Governor Jerry Brown says we should address the climate change drought by refusing a glass of water when you eat at a restaurant. Refusing a glass of water when you eat at a restaurant. No, drink the water at the restaurant. Refuse the meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. Mom, we got to talk some sense into the kids here, right? So please check the studies from the Stockholm International Water Institute, Governor Brown, and Mom, the mom's movement that we need, Mothers for Mother Earth. We need to go vegan because you'll see that a vegan requires just 10,000 gallons of water to grow his or her food in a year. And a meat eater requires 320,000 gallons. So Each vegan is saving 310,000 gallons of water each year, or 32 vegans can be fed to one meat eater. And also in the news lately, the subject of rape and how prevalent it is in the military and on college campus. Also, I'd like you to remember that when you do eat animals, you are eating the children of rape. And all animals are produced by rape. It's forced insemination. When cows are impregnated, it is impregnated. When cows are impregnated, it is on a piece of equipment that the dairy industry calls a rape rack. So even people who oppose abortion recognize the asterisk and oppose that females go full term and give birth to babies whose pregnancy was caused by rape, and everybody whom you eat was born as a result of rape. I mean, who's on the menu? A rape victim child. And what would you like to drink with your rape victim child? Well, like a glass of rape milk, please. So, I mean, that's really just the way it goes. So if we're going to respect mom, why not? Let's respect moms of other species, too, and, you know, oppose their rape also. So stop eating the children of rape. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and have a very interesting show coming up for mom. If you want to buy mom, you know, fur, you can't do it. You can't do it in West Hollywood. The fur ban was just upheld by a federal court. We'll be talking to Ed Buck about that. He was one of the movers and shakers in getting the fur ban in West Hollywood, which was just challenged, and federal court says the ban can stay in place. Also, mom is probably concerned about hair care, and we will talk to Anthony Morocco of the Morocco Method and his natural methodologies for hair care coming up on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Also, animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione. Please support the program with a tax-deductible donation. Click donate at goveganradio.com. There are hundreds of free archives there at goveganradio.com. Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. We are broadcasting now for 13 years. How did that happen? As heard on the Air America Radio Network and CBS and Clear Channel radio stations, and now through the Genesis Communications Network. We are live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also click Listen Live at GoVeganRadio.com and you know, I really think it would be a good idea if mom and the family got together and, you know, we had a discussion on, you know, going vegan. It would be so much fun. It would be more, you know, that the family did together probably than in years, you know. I mean, you know, with dad staring at the TV screen and the kids staring, you know, at the video game screen. And, you know, so, you know, this could really bring you together. I suggest, you know, one of the places you might want to visit is naturesflavors.com. Naturesflavors.com. And appreciate Nature's Flavors for becoming a sponsor of the show and actually helping us reach our goal of the $7,500 that we need to put the deposit for the Vegan World, for the World Vegan Summit and Expo in March in Marina Del Rey. And Nature's Flavors stepped up to the plate, a vegan company. I mean, it seems like thousands of vegan products, you know. So right now, getting a lot of attention for its gluten-free, sugar-free, vegan baking mixes. So here's a start. Okay. See, oh, going vegan for the family isn't so bad. You know, we can bake together. Okay. So gluten-free, sugar-free, vegan baking mixes. You can go to Nature's Flowers. Why do I say that? Nature'sFlavors.com. Select tea, S-E-E-L-E-C-T. You know, select tea. That's from Nature's Flavors. And also, organic Birdie and Bill sodas are now launching in all Sprouts markets. They're available at Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga and Santa Monica. Banana soda. Okay, great. Banana soda, pomegranate, strawberry, cherry cola, ginger ale, root beer, cream, lemon lime, orange. So those are the Birdie and Bill's sodas. And fragrances and flavors from a vegan company, the products from a vegan facility. So check out naturesflavors.com. And, Mom, if you don't really want to do much cooking but still want to do this vegan thing, it's easier than ever because you can have meals, vegan meals delivered right to your home from Greenlight Meals. Greenlightmeals.com, wherever you are in the USA. Delicious breakfast, lunch, dinner. You'll be having tofu scramble and breakfast burritos, banana walnut pancakes, Cinnabon oatmeal. That would have been great for Mother's Day, right? Entrees for Mother's Day or any other day include chipotle falafel with sweet potato burrito, baked bean and veggie chili, tofu fritters with hot pepper relish, root vegetable soup. It just goes on and on with snacks and smoothies and desserts and all delivered right to your door. Greenlightmeals.com, greenlightemeals.com. You also have available nutrition and weight loss consultation available from Melissa Bray from GreenLightMeals.com. I suggest you check that out, GreenLightMeals.com. And you know, I was mentioning, it was even on, it was put out as breaking news on CNN. Climate change is here. Action needed now, says new White House report. Climate change is happening now. And so on the Terror Vision set on CNN, it was talking about, well, look at the Northeast, 64 million people affected by Superstorm Sandy and snowstorms and extreme events will continue. This report, released by the Obama administration, the National Climate Assessment also looks at the Southeast. It's saying, oh, rising seas there, and look out for more of those billion-dollar events, you know, New Orleans, Miami. Then it looked at the Midwest with longer droughts, earlier frost, food availability in question, the Great Plains with water problems, the Southwest with wildfires. And scientists categorize two responses to climate change. Mitigation, which is minimizing the effects by reducing the cause. Did I mention 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions, at least 51% caused by animal agriculture? You want to reduce the cause? Go vegan. Oh, and then the other course of action is adaptation, preparing for impacts. Okay, we have Ed Buck coming up. It's on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. I will tell you the five things that the report suggests you do to combat climate change. None of them will be effective because they don't say to go vegan. We'll continue. Hey, on Twitter, it's at Go Vegan Radio. Bob Linden, GoVeganRadio.com. We groove on Sunday afternoons, starting 5 o'clock every week, and we've expanded to 2 hours now through our national syndication, through the Genesis Communications Network, and well, we are attempting to reach Ed Buck regarding the federal court decision on the West Hollywood fur ban. Before the break, we were talking about the Obama administration putting out a climate change assessment, saying climate change is here now. It's not in the future. And so we need to do something about it, unfortunately. So the report suggests five things that we can do. And the first one is become informed. Well, okay, become informed. Now, perhaps the people who put out the assessment by the Obama administration would like to know that animal agriculture is responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. We have to inform the administration who's putting out these reports. We have to inform Governor Jerry Brown, who says, you know, refuse a glass of water at a restaurant. That's, you know, that's what you can. Oh, okay. The report had five suggestions, right? So, okay, five things we can do. Become informed. Number two, make changes at home. Included in what the report says, it says, use more efficient light bulbs. Is this how we're going to address climate change? Changing light bulbs? Pretty amazing, isn't it? Okay. we'll keep going back to number one. Become informed. Okay, right. Change the light bulbs. Number three, be greener at the office. It says set computers to power down when not in use and recycle. Okay, so I'm sure we'll end climate change as long as you recycle the wrapper to that package of Oscar Mayer wieners. Sure, why not? Is this insane? Of course, the administration doesn't say, hey, you know, we need an alternative energy infrastructure because, well, we'll need $18 trillion and 18 years to do that, or 20 trillion, 20 years, whatever. Okay, so recycle. We're going to be informed. We're going to change the light bulbs. We're going to recycle. Number four is reduce emissions in transit. So carpool. Okay, we're not really hearing much new here, are we? Okay, all right. We've had carpool lanes for forever. Okay. Here's an important one, I imagine. It says, pack lighter when you fly. Okay, so, you know, I guess we don't want to use up as much jet fuel. So, you know, that heavy sweatshirt, you know, leave it home. Okay. Pack lighter when you fly. This is how we're going to end climate change. And it also says fly during the day, flying at night creates more problems. Okay. Then it also says buy carbon offsets or credits to compensate for your flight emissions. What? Okay. I haven't seen anybody, you know, come by, you know, hey, want to buy some carbon offsets? But I presume that's some sort of Wall Street scam that'll make everybody rich and not do much for anything. And then number five is get involved and educate others about the big picture. Start with, you know, whoever came up with these five suggestions. I think they may be the ones who need to be educated. Bizarre as that seems, huh? Pretty strange. Again, perhaps we should educate the Obama administration. Animal agriculture, 51%, at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. You can Google livestock and climate change. I hate the word livestock because it commodifies animals. They are not stock. Livestock and climate change, and also chompingclimatechange.org. Chompingclimatechange.org. That shows the results of a study by climate specialists at the World Bank, World Watch Institute, Robert Goodland and Jeffrey Anhang, who are saying really the only way to address climate change is like an immediate, like, snap your fingers, 25% shift from animal agriculture products to vegan products, like right now. I didn't see that among the five suggestions, but perhaps, you know, if you change the light bulb and turn the water off when you're shaving your legs, maybe we'll save the planet. So Vermont is the first state in the nation to pass legislation to require the labeling of foods containing GMOs. The law signed by the governor last Thursday will go into effect in July of 2016, allowing time for expected lawsuits, as, for example, the one promised by the Grocery Manufacturers Association, which called Vermont's new law, quote, legally suspect in a USA Today article claiming that GMOs are safe, and if people want to avoid them, they can buy certified organic. Well, I'm sure that if the state of Vermont wins in court, it will be drones over Montpelier. Montpelier, right? Montpelier. I don't think I've had to mention the capital of Vermont since public school when we had to memorize all the capitals of the states. Huh? So you can, I can just see it now, though. Drones over Montpelier. From President Monsanto Obama. Right now, Republicans in Congress are already working on legislation to ban states from passing laws to require the labeling of GMOs. And will President Monsanto Obama sign such legislation and ruin the party everybody's having, you know, celebrating in Vermont? Well, I think the party in Vermont was already ruined when Ben and Jerry showed up at the celebration in the Vermont Capitol and then handed out free ice cream. You know, it's always, you know, really good to celebrate banning something really harmful by eating something really harmful. It's like, you know, so, you know, thanks for the carcinogenic touch to the celebration, Ben and Jerry's. And by the way, all Ben and Jerry's ice cream is not GMO-free. And to make dumb even dumber, in general, ice cream is considered a GMO-free food, even if the cows eat GMOs. So, have you actually ever considered that when consuming dairy, when you're consuming the cow's milk and the cheese, the yogurt, butter, all coming from cows who are fed GMO products, GMO corn and soy, and they're being fed that is, forests are being chopped down so that cows can graze or we can grow the GMO corn or GMO soy. But Vermont, the first state in the nation to actually come up with the ban, so good luck there. Monsanto is very powerful, owns the government. We'll see what happens in court in Vermont. The pledge drive is going on Pacifica Radio in the Bay Area, KPFA. So my regular weekly animal rights commentary, my vegan animal liberation commentary, is postponed for the 3-week duration of that pledge drive. So, let's see, John, would you have, I want to play a song by Tanita Tikaram called Poor Cow. I'm just wondering if you have, we can hear that. Okay, well, let's play the Nothing with a Face by Eddie Clark, and then maybe we'll hear Poor Cow coming up, too. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Nothing with a face, Mom. You know, don't eat anyone who had a face.
Bless us, O Lord.
Don't eat anyone who had a mother.
Don't eat anyone who had a bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen.
My girlfriend says I eat nothing with a face. I never kill anything before I say grace. I eat nothing's child, nothing's brother. nothing's boyfriend or significant other. Nothing's newborn, nothing's kid. Nothing's mother who got what her mother did. Nothing, nothing with a face. Nothing, I hate to waste. Nothing, nothing with a face. I don't kill anything before I say grace. I'm Swan Dang from Vietnam. Got a vegan house all lack of lamb. I eat nothing's kidney, nothing's liver, nothing's fingers, slowly simmer. Nothing's body, baked in honey. Nothing's ass, it's cold for money. So meat that's on your plate, you're about to eat. Safe way slaughter from womb to tomb to this plain white wrapper in your dining room. Bow mouth, I eat nothing's less. Bow mouth, I eat nothing's nice. Bow mouth, I eat nothing's wings. Bow mouth, I eat nothing's nice.
Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, Facebook you have a Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden page. Please like that. All these years I've never asked anybody to like the page. I don't know, it just seems so egomaniacal and needy. Please like me, be my friend. But please like me and be my friend. And there are also two Bob Linden pages. And I guess we're just not going to reach Ed Buck, who is one of the movers and shakers on the West Hollywood fur ban. But I'm looking at Global Animal reporting on it. It says, fur-free future in sight. Court upholds West Hollywood fur ban. It says, in September 2013, West Hollywood, California, a city known for their progressive stance. SIC, right? A city should be a city known for its. I'm sorry. I should have been an English teacher. Life would have been easier if I would have been a professor. So in September 2013, West Hollywood, California, a city known for its progressive stances and a strong support of animal rights, passed a law to ban the sale and distribution of fur products. Subsequently, high-end fashion retailer Mayfair House, whose inventory is centered largely around fur products and luxury fur coats, sued WeHo for its citywide ban, claiming the law was unconstitutional. On Tuesday, U.S. District Court Judge George H. King dismissed the lawsuit, leaving it up to Mayfair House to decide whether to appeal his decision or pursue the issue in state court. According to King, the city's attempts to, quote, promote community awareness of animal welfare foster the city's goal to be a community that cares about animal welfare and further the city's reputation as a cruelty-free zone for animals by prohibiting fur sales was a legitimate interest, rejecting claims that the ban was a violation of the U.S. Constitution. I'm liking what I'm hearing here, only for my own futuristic purposes, I think, here. So anyway, Just continuing with this piece here, it says, West Hollywood's ban on fur was the first of its kind in the United States, although it continues to receive heavy criticism from fashion retailers and businesses affected by the ban. The progressive law serves as a model for not just the rest of the nation, but the rest of the world as well. The compassionate SoCal city also prohibits the retail sale of cats and dogs, pet rentals. Is that what it says here? Okay, so pet rentals, cat declawing, exotic animal performances, and recognizes their human companions as pet guardians rather than owners. So, I'm just wondering here, okay, the fur ban is good. Now, and it's interesting because I attended some of the city council meetings leading up to the fur ban, and there were council members saying, well, you know, what's next? What comes after this? Are we going to ban leather? Well, you know, if we're going to be a compassionate city, at some point we're going to have to look at leather and wool and silk and meat and dairy and fish and eggs. At some point, some city in this country is going to have to take the lead in opposition to the most devastating, you know, so-called product on the market. I mean, meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption, yeah, causes that's our health care right there. At least 90% of all fatal degenerative disease. You know, all the trillions of dollars that we spend because of so-called meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption, the environmental devastation, the cruelty to animals, and if, well, for example, West Hollywood wants to be a cruelty-free zone for animals. The future is on its way. When do we abolish meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption? It's a thought. It's time to act upon it. We'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. Once again, welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Yes, we have expanded to 2 hours since becoming nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, as heard on the Air America Radio Network, CBS and Clear Channel radio stations, and programs are archived at GoVeganRadio.com, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support the program. You know, we're also developing the World Vegan Summit and Expo to take place in Southern California in March of 2015, and I invite you to visit that website because we're going to have to raise a lot of money to make this happen, although we have reached our goal to put a deposit on the venue, the Marina del Rey Marriott. So we're taking care of that, and now onward and upward. Check out the website and see what we're doing there by going to worldvegansummit.com. Well, it is Mother's Day, and mothers are interested in hair, face, and body care, I'm sure, as probably fathers are and children are, but it's Mother's Day. And today we're going to talk to Anthony Morocco. He's the founder of the Morocco Method International, an approach that he says combines modern scientific knowledge with the ancient healing of Ayurvedic and Chinese herbalism. Anthony Morocco has been a student and practitioner of holistic health care, starting with his apprenticeship 4 decades ago at Kenneth's, a world-famous salon in New York that brought him face-to-face with the most famous follicles imaginable. Jackie Kennedy Onassis, Liza Minnelli, Lauren Bacall, Mia Farrow, Joan Rivers, Faye Dunaway, Mrs. Vincent Astor. Oh, the Astors. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, what clientele? Welcome, Anthony Morocco. How are you today?
Really great, Bob. I'm really, really thrilled to be on your show and finally getting to, like, educate pet lovers and vegans.
On natural care, hair, face, and body care. And as I was just mentioning, I mean, you're history goes back to the famous Kenneth Salon with all the celebrities, the rich and famous there. And what did you learn from the start in your apprenticeship that got you started on your path?
Yeah, so I started at Kenneth's, which is the most famous salon in the world, in 1964 to 1968. And I did really work directly on the rich and famous for 4 years and continued afterwards. Well, what I've learned, they still have the same problems that everyone else does, and basically we need to, like, get educated to read our ingredient list. In the days back in the 60s, we were doing L'Oreal and Clairol and Wella, all these chemically-based products, but in 67, 68, when I realized how chemically-based they were, I basically stepped out of the salon industry and brought my clients with me into the natural education of what we're really doing inside and outside of our body. So, of course, my specialty is hair care, and I've developed 5 elements, which is fire, air, earth, water, and ether. And that's what I teach. I also teach Qigong, and that's also based on the 5 elements, 5 fingers, 5 toes, 5 senses. So when we start realizing that nature has a message for us in the letters of 5 all over the place, we start realizing that we need to alternate our products, skin care, cosmetics, hair care, whatever we're basically doing, even our dental hygiene. So basically what I brought with me is education and understanding what we put into our body we need to take out. So detox is a major process of what I educate people also to do. So all my 5 shampoos help people detox. So they don't foam. They're all natural ingredients. We get ingredients from all over the world. We have apple cider vinegar as a base. We have pine shale as a base. We get ingredients from all over the world, like mostly fair, so that they're really basically harvested. And we use the lunar cycle a lot also to help. And basically we even educate people how to cut their hair using the lunar cycle. So there's days to cut our hair that's strengthening, and there's days to never to cut our hair, which is weakening. So it's like a Samson and Delilah or Rapunzel situation.
You use the lunar cycle? Really?
Yeah, so the Mayan calendar, tens of thousands of years ago, have always educated high civilizations to cut hair during certain cycles of the moon. So there's also 5 elements to the hair cycle. So we have 5 fingers, 5 toes. So there's 5 times of the month which really empower to cut the hair. There being lengthening, strengthening, thickening, root work, or beautifying. So one could pick any of those 5 elements each month depending on what you'd like to do. So let's say you want to grow your hair really long and really fast, you do lengthening. If you wanted to make your hair wavy or really luxurious, you'd cut it during the beautifying cycle. Then we have root work, which actually makes the roots more active and strengthening, which also creates much more hair follicles. And then we have thickening, so people who are having any type of hair thinning situation, this would help grow thicker hair. So being in hair for 50 years, 1964, here it is 2014, so half a century, realizing, like, whatever we can do, I call them spokes in a wheel. So the more that we bring into the spokes and the wheel, there's not one thing like use a shampoo, grow your hair back, you know, do a conditioner, have luxurious hair. We really need to find out, like, getting blood and air circulating. So I have scalp massagers for the circulation. We do brushing techniques. We have, besides our shampoos and our conditioners, we also have a detox program, which helps whatever goes in comes out. So we really need to keep the follicles and the roots cleansed for healthy, luxurious hair.
So I'm just imagining, I'm seeing hair salons with a sign up saying closed because it's a bad lunar day for haircutting, right? Should that be?
Very good. Very good. Yeah, that's why the salons really don't go natural, because once they find out they have to stop doing chemical work, and once they find out that they only can actually cut hair during a particular cycle. So the lunar cycle is like you have Farmer's Almanac, so you have Findhorn in Scotland, which is the paragon of really showing how powerful the lunar cycle is. Then we have architecture, and the main beams, like in Chartres or Notre Dame, they were only dropped during the lunar cycle. So this has been done for thousands of years. So there's different cycles for different elements. So it's not just Farmer's Almanac for farming, but it's also going into every element you can possibly imagine, hair being one of the most profound I've ever discovered. And I work with a Qigong master from Thailand, Montauk Chia. He's the Qigong master of the world today, and he's written a book called The Golden Elixir. He's actually had it published for the first time, releasing this information. And in that book, it explains how there's five types of hair on the body, and that the energy, the qi, is stored in the hair, not in the body. So hair is very ethereal. That's why I become fanatic about keeping our hair healthy and natural and not putting chemicals on it, because whatever we put onto our hair or our skin, we ingest about 70%.
Sure. I'm curious about the five types of hair. I don't know. Is that something you remember what they are, or how one describes that there are? How are there five types of hair? I'm kind of curious as to.
Well, of course, everyone says I've never heard of this information before because it's lost. It's always been known, and that's what the hair basically is, ethereal energy. So you look at biblical stories, if you look at fairy tales, you look at Goldilocks, Rapunzel, Samson, and Delilah, it's all alluding to what I'm talking about. But to make it very simple, the five types of hair on the body, first of all, is the hair on the head, which is the crown chakra. That's number one. Then there's the beard, that's number two. Then there's the eyelashes and the eyebrows and the hair in the ears and in the nose, that's three. Then we have body hair, four. And then we have our pubic hair, which is five. And those hair types do different types of energy work on all different levels. So it's very, very concentrated.
I noticed that generally they grow where you don't want them to, and where you do want them to, they don't grow there. I notice a lot.
Yeah, so people have to be really aware. Like, men today are shaving their chest, shaving their back, even shaving their pubic hair. So they really have to be much more educated to realize what are we doing. Because this type of hair has been put on our body for definite reasons. The universe has endowed us and given us very great energies. And this hair basically collects the qi, stores the qi. The qi is not stored in the body and the cells. It's literally stored in the hair. And that's why I'm really excited that Montauk Chia has publicly released this information that's never been released for thousands of years. But the Mayans have known that, the Egyptians, the older civilizations, especially in India, that's where our Ayurvedic and Chinese herbs are basically, in Chinese herbology, really understand the principles of hair. It's very lost science. So I brought it back. So if you look at, I have several websites. One of them is hairshaman.com.
So hairshaman.com.
It brings you to a website all about the mystery and magic of hair. And there's articles about Samson and Delilah, Rapunzel, blah. But the main thing on it It's been going viral across YouTube and the emails now for the last year, is about the American Indians and their hair. So there's a story that's documented by the United States military. So it doesn't get more credentialed than that. So what happened during the Vietnam War, they were bringing in, of course, different types of men to do different kind of specialties, and they discovered that the American Indians had a great intuition, that they could really tell where the enemy was. And so they were fascinated and did an enormous study. And then the Indians were brought over to Vietnam, and they would say, where is the enemy? And they say, they're...
Hold on, Anthony. We have to take a break. We're talking to Anthony Morocco of Morocco Method International. We'll continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, on Twitter, at goveganradio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. There are two Bob Linden pages also, just to confuse you. Today we're talking to Anthony Morocco, the founder of Morocco Method International. His products have been featured on CBS News and People Magazine, LA Times, and Style. And your hair care products are vegan, correct, Anthony? They better be, or I have to hang up the phone right now. So,
yeah, we're very vegan, very raw. We're very into protecting animals, protecting their rights, and of course, no chemicals. Very natural.
Terrific. You know, you started at the famous Kenneth Salon in New York, and all the celebrities and rich people were there. And you said they came in with problems. They left with the same problems. What were those problems, and how have you addressed them with your method?
Yeah, basically a disease. So hair loss, hair thinning, hair breakage, dry hair, having hair basically look really brittle. Then we cover it up with, hair coloring. We have all these different bleaches and dyes that cover it up. And a lot of the hair care products basically are wax-based. So they make one's hair look really shiny and luxurious. But once you remove that, the hair gets really dry underneath. Hmm. So by using natural ingredients, you start stripping off all of the waxes and the buildup, and you get your hair back to a natural, luxurious health. And that's why I was talking about Qigong earlier and the five types of hair. But even in the best salons, having the best hair shaping in the world, the best styles in the world, underneath all that, we still have the same problem everyone else has. Is our hair healthy, or is it basically not? Is it dry? Is it brittle? Is it luxurious? What's going on with the health? And the skin and the hair is pure protein. We really don't want to disturb that balance in our entire body.
Mm-hmm. So, and you were mentioning a website. I thought you had a few websites you were mentioning.
So I was talking about this one particular website I have is the Hair Shaman. So it's hairshaman.com. And on that website, there's an article by the United States military, and it explains how the American Indians were brought into Vietnam, and that they would basically take them by helicopters and drop them off in the middle of the jungles and ask them where the enemy was in the middle of the night when there was zero light or a visibility, and they would precisely point out that the enemy would be 80 miles due west or 130 miles due southeast, whatever it was. Then what happened is that the military cut everyone's hair. They cut all the Americans' hair off. All the Indians were crew cut, and they lost all their ability, all their psychic ability, and all their intuition. that's all been documented. So I find that very interesting.
Sounds like another Samson and Delilah story, in a way, huh? Right?
Modern Samson and Delilah. So Samson had his hair cut at the wrong date. Mm. Samson basically was cut his hair in a weakening moment instead of a strengthening date, and that's basically what he lost. And it's very, not so easily understood. That's why they're riddles. That's why they're basically fairy tales. But you see a lot of fairy tales talking about hair. But my main concern today is that women, for the first time in history, because I've been in hair 50 years, the first time in history that 30% of women are globally losing their hair. The hair thinning and hair balding situation for women across the entire planet Earth is about 30%. Which has never been heard of before. Men, basically, we just say, oh, yeah, I'm losing my hair. I'll just get a rug or cover it up. Who cares? But women basically do care. They get very concerned. So why is it a new epidemic? What's going on in the industry today? What's happening that women are having this massive hair loss problem that's never happened before? It's because they're allowed, the government's allowed, corporations to basically increase the chemicals in the hair care industry and also the skin care industry. So the disease levels are getting quite high.
Anthony, we're out of time. Anthony Morocco, Morocco Method International. Your website again?
Yes, 5elementshaircare.com.
5elementshaircare.com?
Yes, Bob, and thank you very much for allowing me to be on your show. I really got very excited about that.
We appreciate it. We'll talk again in the future. Very interesting discussion on hair with Anthony Morocco, Morocco Method International. Thank you. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and a couple of Bob Linden pages on Facebook too, just in case you get lost there somewhere. I mentioned earlier that we are thankful to Nature's Flavors for coming on as a sponsor and supporting our mission to create the World Vegan Summit and Expo. And it's really great that some people have been stepping up to help us in phase one, raising the money to make the deposit on the Marina del Rey Marriott so that we can be there next March 2021 and 22 for the World Vegan Summit and Expo. And again, thanks, Nature's Flavors, a totally vegan company. It's like thousands of products. All of them are vegan. There's a lot of excitement now about its gluten-free, sugar-free, vegan baking mixes. You know, Select Tea, right? S-E-E-L-E-C-T. That's from Nature's Flavors also. And Birdie and Bill Sodas, organic sodas, now launching at all Sprouts markets. They're also available at Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga. There's now a new Viva La Vegan in Santa Monica on Ocean Park at 28th. VivaLaVeganGrocery.com with what they're up to, about 8,000 vegan items in the store right now too. And so I also want to thank all the people in this grassroots effort who gave $5, $10, $100, $150, Vegetarian House Vegan Restaurant in San Jose, which donated $1,000 to help us secure the venue. So go enjoy a meal at Vegetarian House. The food is great. You can't not enjoy it. I mean, look at the menu, vegetarianhouse.us. Also available for catering around the Bay Area, which will make your next event memorable. have a business function or a wedding, Vegetarian House can cater it for you. VegetarianHouse.us. And going through all of these efforts so that we can showcase the work, the thinking, the philosophy of Professor Gary Francione. We want to discuss the abolitionist approach. We would like to abolish the use of animals in food and clothing and entertainment and experimentation, and look past their property status. It's just going to be a really great time, and Professor Francione has many friends he wants to have there speaking. I'm looking forward to it already, and it's so many months away, Professor Francione. But
the time will fly, Bob. The time
it will. It will. We'll be in phase 2 and through 7 to raise the money to cover all of this, but the food's going to be great, and we're just going to have a really great time and hopefully motivate a lot of people to promote veganism the way, you know, we should be working. So, yeah.
And I'm hoping that a lot of the folks in the grassroots animal community, animal movement, will not waste their time and money at the so-called animal rights conference that is going on in, I guess, July, that is sponsored by the Farm Animal Reform Movement, or whatever that group is called.
Well, Animal Rights Movement. It was the Farm Animal Reform Movement prior. Now it's Farm Animal Rights Movement.
That's the irony, I guess, then, isn't it? They've changed it to the Farm Animal Rights Movement. It actually was much more of an animal rights organization years ago. Now it's basically aligned with HSUS and Mercy for Animals and all the welfare.
Featuring HSUS again this year after all we've been through with the Farmer Outreach page and how it's a rancher advocacy organization. It is the meat industry, and farms still can't differentiate animal advocates from animal killers. I don't understand this.
Well, I mean, I think the reality is, as I was told by the people at Farm last summer, that they just don't want to have the rights welfare debate anymore. That what they want to do is they want to promote the whole happy exploitation program that HSUS is developing. I mean, they basically said that. They said it in writing. And so I think, you know, that, look, it's clear. Let them do their thing. Let them do their thing. We'll do our thing. And what our thing is veganism. And we're rejecting animal welfare reform. We're talking about veganism. And I'm just hoping that people will be patient, save their time and their money, and come to the conference the conference that you're developing, the World Vegan Summit, because I think it's going to be a dynamite conference. And just based on the conversations we've had so far, I think your thinking is terrific. I think your planning is wonderful, and I'm looking forward to the event. I want to talk tonight about, you mentioned that I'm opposed to all animal use. That's right. I'm also opposed to domestication. I think that we have a moral obligation to take care of the animals who are here now, but we ought to stop bringing domesticated animals into existence. I mean, we have an obligation to stop doing that, and I think we ought to recognize that. I think we ought to recognize there's something inherently wrong with domestication. And I've been being attacked, I guess, the past year or so, by Nathan Winograd, who is an advocate for no-kill. And he apparently doesn't like my views, although he's never made any arguments that I've seen. He just makes remarks, unfortunately ad hominem remarks, about my views on domestication. But I want to explain why I'm opposed to domestication, because I understand that some animal people out there might be confused. And what they'll be confused about, and where there is some tension, is people say, well, you know, yeah, I agree we shouldn't be bringing cows and pigs and chickens into existence, and that's really all bad. But what about dogs and cats? I mean, I love my dog. I love my cat. You know, we can have relationships with animals. What's wrong with continuing to breed those animals, the quote, companions? and end quote animals. Are you opposed to that? And the answer is yes. And, you know, Anna and I live with five wonderful rescued animals. We absolutely adore them. You will not find anybody on the planet who loves hanging out with dogs as much as I do. But let me be real frank with you. If there were two dogs left on the planet, and it were up to me whether they continued to breed so that we can have dogs as pets, the answer is I would have them spayed and neutered or whatever as soon as possible, because I don't think we should continue to bring domesticated animals, even animals like dogs and cats. Now, people say, well, why? I mean, what's wrong? Well, they're still property. These animals are still property. They still only have an external or extrinsic value. I mean, you might love you have a dog and a cat. You have a dog and a cat.
Yeah. Well, I'm in a household that actually has three dogs and seven cats. But my real love is Daisy.
Knowing you as well as I do, I know that you treat those animals wonderfully, and that they are your non-human children, the equivalent of your non-human children. But the reality is that just because they're your property and you, Bob Linden, choose to value to accord them a very high value because of your respect for them. But that's a choice that you get to make because they're your property. And excuse me. And if you valued them lower, if you decided that what you wanted to do was keep those dogs outside and use them as guard dogs, or not show much care for the cats and just sort of not feed them very much and let them go and catch rodents or whatever, you could do that too, and the law would protect your decision because they are your property, and that's what it means to be property. Now, the reality is, although, you know, we love our canine companions and you love your canine and feline companions, the reality is most of the dogs and cats on the planet don't really have a very good life. They don't die of old age happily in their homes. As a matter of fact, in this country, dogs have a home for a fairly short period of time before they are transferred, before their ownership is given to somebody else, or they're taken to a veterinarian to be, quote, put to sleep, i.e. killed, or they're taken to a kill shelter, or they're just abandoned. So the reality is that many dogs and cats don't really have very good lives. Now, the question becomes, well, wait a minute now, couldn't we just redo everything and have dogs and cats, but we would have a completely different structure? We would get rid of ownership, and we would ensure that all of the dogs and cats really had excellent lives. Well, first of all, that's a fantasy. That's a complete fantasy, and it's impossible to achieve. There is no possible way that could be achieved. But even
don't say that. Daisy is lying right here next to me now. I don't want her to hear this.
No. Yes, well, yes. Oh. yes, that's right. But the reality, Bob, is that as much as we love these creatures, there's something really tragic about them. So even if we could eradicate all of the situations of mistreating these animals, there is still a fundamental moral question. Do we have the right to continue to bring into existence creatures that are perpetually dependent on us, that will never be able to live autonomously as animals, because they're not really animals? They're creatures that we have domesticated. We have made them perpetually dependent on us. They're dependent on us from when they eat, when they drink, when they go outside. They're dependent on us for their veterinary care. They're dependent on us for everything. They will never have autonomy. They will always be perpetually dependent on us. They will always exist in that netherworld of vulnerability because they're not really animals and they're not human. They're creatures that we have domesticated, creatures that we have in various ways engineered to be completely dependent on us. Now, I think that raises a very serious question as to whether or not that's morally acceptable or not, and I don't believe it is. I don't believe we have any business continuing to bring these animals into existence so that we can have pets. As much as I love our dogs,
I agree with you.
I think, you know, I know this is a controversial issue with animal people. It is one of the things when I'm, you know,
People oppose breeding? I mean, just outright? Shouldn't that be the position of?
I think so. But you see, you have people out there, you know, you have people like Winograd out there who get upset, you know, who obviously get upset. He accused me for what I just said of.
Wait. Before you say what the accusation was, we'll hold that for the break. And what did Nathan Winograd accuse Gary Francione of in his commentary? We will follow up on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, on Twitter, @goveganradio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and Bob Linden pages on Facebook, and my vegan animal liberation commentary on the Pacifica radio station KPFA is preempted during its pledge drive, so that we should be returning on the station on Wednesday, May 21st, our segment of with animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione is happening right this moment. We're discussing domestication and, what I would think the animal rights position would be to be against breeding of companion animals. Of course, HSUS
says... It's a controversial position because, you know, I remember... Some years ago, I was interviewed by a British newspaper, and the reporter started off saying, "You know, will you come out and say that, you know, you're opposed to all domestication?" And I said, "Well, sure, I have no problem with that." And he said, "It's interesting." He said, "I've talked to a number of people today, including PETA," and he said, "And I couldn't get any of them to state on the record that they're absolutely opposed to pet ownership in terms of perpetuating domestication." I said, "I don't have a problem with that at all." But
HSUS says buy from a responsible breeder.
I think all of these groups shy away from dealing with this question because they have a lot of people who have dogs and cats that they love, and they don't want people to think that they're opposed to that sort of relationship. I love our dogs very, very much, but, you know, as I said, I just think it's a bad idea to perpetuate this idea that you know, pet ownership can be okay, and that, you know, that after all animal exploitation is eradicated, we're still going to be able to have dogs and cats. And the answer is no. If we really think clearly about this, we'll see that continued domestication is in fact a form of exploitation. And so, you know, I'll tell you, I'm sort of alone on this because it's very, very difficult to find anybody in these large organizations, including and the proof is in the vegan pudding. You know, you get Nathan Winograd, who's dealing with the issue of the killing of all of these companion animals. You would think that he would be sympathetic to the argument that we shouldn't continue breeding at all. But yet he accused me of engaging in, I believe the expression was, muddled thinking, based on what I said a few minutes ago in the earlier segment. And, you know, and I'm interested to know what it is that, you know, why he thinks it's muddled. I think it's actually very clear. And I had suggested that in this morning in a post that I put on the Facebook site, I had suggested that perhaps you might want to invite him onto the show because I would love to discuss with Nathan why he thinks that the position that continued breeding is inherently morally problematic. It's contingently problematic in that the fact is that most dogs and cats do not have a good life, but that it's inherently problematic because even if we fixed all of those problems, which we never could, but even if hypothetically we fixed all those problems, it still would be morally objectionable. And so,
well,
I
think that we don't envision the time coming when there won't be dogs and cats around, so it won't be a problem, you know? I mean, we feel
I mean, you know what, Bob? In my lifetime, your lifetime, in the lifetimes of our grandchildren and great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, there will still be, unfortunately, there will still be lots of dogs and cats to adopt. But I say unfortunately, because I really think the institution of pet ownership, and I think the whole idea of breeding animals to be, to serve, to be our resources as companions. I mean, this idea that, well, but we love them and they give so much to our lives. The answer is that's not right. It's not right for us to say we have all sorts of needs and they can fill those needs. If we bring them into existence, they can fill those needs. That's, they're not here to be furry little therapists or whatever it is we think that they are. And so I think that we need, you know, look, we ought to give, you know, we ought to give homes, we ought to take as many animals into our homes as we can. I mean, the mantra of the abolitionist approach is go vegan, educate, use creative nonviolent vegan, you know, advocacy, educate people, and adopt and foster. I always say that. And it is a fundamental belief I have that we have a moral obligation. They are here because of our selfishness. We brought them into existence. They're in this mess because of us. We've got an obligation to give them homes and care for them and love them. But we also have an obligation to take the position that there is no such thing as responsible breeding. There is no such thing as responsible breeding. I think that's an obscene concept in the same way that I think happy exploitation is an obscene concept.
We're out of time. We'll talk again next week on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. If you missed any of the show, go to goveganradio.com.